Hello, and welcome to the Christian Habits Podcast. This is the podcast that will help you break free from your strongholds, draw closer to God, and develop habits that will help you love God and others better. And now, here's your host, Barb Ravling.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. It's so good to be here. Good to be back. I took a long break from the podcast over the summer to do some of the Taste for Truth weight loss podcasts, but now I'm going to try and become a little bit more consistent, at least try and get a podcast out once a month. And I wanted to start back again with Deborah Haddix. She is an author, speaker, a Christian life coach, and she has all kinds of resources at her website, DeborahHaddix.com. And she also just published a book called Journaling for the Soul. And I was really intrigued by this book because you guys all know I like to journal. And so I wanted to get her on the podcast and just find out what she can share with us about why to journal and how to journal and some different types of journaling she has. So welcome to the podcast, Deb.
Thank you, Barb. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's sure good to have you here. Why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, short and sweet. I've been married for nearly 40 years. I have three grown children and 10 grandchildren.
Wow.
A retired school teacher, now coaching, writing, speaking, working with women.
That's great. Well, you published a book recently called Journaling for the Soul. And
yes.
I guess the first question I want to ask is, what is that? What is journaling for the soul?
Okay, well, there's a lot of things that could be rolled into it, but just a simple definition to get us started would be that journaling for the soul is a way for us to connect with God at a deeper level. We're all pretty good at knowing we need this, you know, this quiet time, but often come away feeling like it was surface, we're doing the shoulds. And this is a way to actually sit with God at a deeper level. It's a tool to help us care for our soul. And it helps us to engage, which is, you know, how we can do that connecting with God at a deeper level. Journaling for the soul engages us in so many ways. It engages our mind and our body. It helps us to become focused and involved in what we're doing. So if we're reading our Bible, we're praying, we become more involved in it. It's not just that surface mind level act that's going on.
Right. And I think even for people, like I'm kind of an ADHD sort of person. And so I can focus more, way better if I'm writing. And so a lot of times I'll write out scripture or journal or all those kinds of things. But I know a lot of people say they have a hard time focusing in their quiet time. So I could see it being really helpful.
Yeah. And I think that's something that people who say that, you know, they have the ADHD thing and they have a hard time concentrating. But also, even if we don't struggle with those things, we're all so busy and there's so much going on. It's hard to just sit and focus. And so I think having that pencil in your hand, whether you're writing it out or coloring it or sketching it, it involves us and brings us more into it where we're a little more focused.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that for the coloring, because I've heard of all those coloring things. And I guess I have to say I've been a little bit skeptical because I think, well, you're not really studying the word if you're coloring. But I wonder if it's like, say, if you're listening to a lecture or something and you're coloring, your mind can stay more involved in it. Is that the idea behind the coloring?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I told you I was a teacher, and for years, my way of operating in my classroom was, you know, if the student wasn't looking at me and their hands weren't still, they weren't really hearing what I was saying. And I'd go, you know, grab that pencil out of their hand or that crayon out of their hand. And then I saw some brain research that shows that if our pencil is moving, whether we're coloring, doodling, sketching, writing, we are so much more attentive and we hear and retain so much more of what we're hearing. So I think that's where a lot of this coloring thing is coming in.
Oh, that's interesting. Huh. Okay. So actually, I can't remember where we were. Where were we? Sorry,
well,
got you off.
No, that's fine. We were talking about what it is. And so to me, journaling for the soul is just, it's a tool. It's a tool that helps me engage much more intentionally, consistently, deeply with God, with all that He has for me, all that he is. And that's what our life is to be about. I've kind of adopted over the last year or so that verse, John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they know you. And so, you know, eternal life for us is to know him, and we can't know him if we're not spending time engaging with him.
Okay, so in your book, I think you have, what, about 50 different methods of journaling, which is really interesting. Some of them are scripture-based, I mean, where you're actually doing things with scripture, and I know there's some other ones. Why don't you just give us maybe example of a few of the different methods or the different types of methods?
Okay, I'd love to. There are about 50 in the book, and before I go in there and tell you, you know, there's a little of this and a little of that, it's probably important to let people know that there are a lot of methods in here that would not fit the traditional definition of journaling, and that's important for a lot of us to know. I know I have not always embraced journaling myself, which might be kind of hard to fathom at this point, but for many years, I kind of bristled at the whole idea of journaling because I just couldn't make myself sit down with a pencil and a blank page and just write endlessly. So this book, in those 50 different methods, it runs the gamut. Yes, there's the traditional, but there's some very non-traditional that are more sketching and coloring and list making and just all kinds of different things to involve all of us, the things that we love and the way that we're wired by God. And besides the whole traditional, non-traditional, the methods have been grouped in this particular book, this handbook, by spiritual discipline. So when we talked earlier about journaling helps take us deeper into our scripture reading, it helps take us deeper into our prayer or our time with God, they've been organized that way. So prayer journaling, if you want to begin a journaling journey in connection with your prayer life, there's things like picture prayer journal, which uses photographs of people you love and people you're praying for. There's praying in color, which I just absolutely adore and never thought I would. But it keeps your hand moving, keeps you engaged while you're praying. Squish it prayer journaling method, which is like, it's more like a scrapbook. And then with scripture journaling, there's so many to help take you into deeper into scripture. There's things like book study journaling, which is a more traditional, but there's also journalable journaling and sketch notes journaling, verse mapping.
Could you give us a little bit about what they're like?
Sure, I'd love to. Journalable journaling comes from, actually, it's a series of books by Donald Rinalda. He has them out there. I kind of patterned mine after his. I use a 50-cent composition book. And basically, to dig deeper into scripture, you choose a chapter or a small book of the Bible. I did it last summer with the book of Philippians. And what you do is just you write the book of the Bible out into your journal. But in my 50-cent composition book, I write it out on the right-hand side of the page, skipping every other line as I write it. And so that right there takes me deeper into scripture because I'm having to think about it as I write it. I'm spending more time with it. But then on that left-hand side, the page you didn't write on is where you come back. And as you think on that scripture, you read that scripture, you pray that scripture, you're writing out thoughts, reflections, questions, anything that comes to your mind that correlates with that scripture that you're studying.
Oh, I love that.
I absolutely love it. I will tell you two big benefits on that one. I love this one. I am a slow processor. And so when I go to something like my Sunday school class or my small group and they're studying and they start throwing these questions out, I'm still trying to think and figure out what question number one is asking me, and they've moved on to question five. By doing this journalable method, I actually did this with the book of Philippians in our small group, and I was so pleasantly thrilled that when I went to small group, I could actually participate in the discussion. Somebody would ask something, and I would go, oh, God, we already talked about that, and I could flip to my page, and I'd already spent time with him on that. And started processing it so that I could contribute and glean from the conversation. The other thing I loved about it was just that I could copy my scripture in during my time in the morning, and there might have been a phrase that I kept going back to, but I wasn't really sure why. You know, I couldn't yet verbalize what it was But that piece kept coming back. And I would find myself throughout the day running the vacuum and talking to God about this particular phrase. So it encourages more time with Him, conversation with Him, getting more out of the scripture as you're reading it. I absolutely adore this method.
Right, because you're writing it down and then you're thinking about it and you're writing your thoughts down. So you're really interacting deeply with the scripture. I like that.
Yes.
So do you have any other methods you'd like to share with us?
I have my favorites. Anybody's going to have their favorites, I think. As I look through like the prayer journaling ones, my favorites are praying in color and the Squish It prayer journaling.
And what's that like, the praying in color?
The praying in color actually is taken from a book by Sybil Macbeth. She developed this method, and I was introduced to it by my pastor's wife when she did a workshop on it. And then God kept bringing it back to me, and I took it and adapted it as a grandmother. So even though these methods are in the book, and they're in very simple one page, here's what you need, here's step-by-step how to do it, you can tweak them to fit you. So I took this praying in color and tweaked it as a grandmother, and I will sit maybe on a Monday morning, and I told you, 10 grandchildren. I have found that I pray best for them, more specifically, more intentionally, if I pray for them one at a time. So this particular Monday might be my day to pray for Olivia. And I sit with a blank piece of paper and some coloring pencils. And I also use a list that you can find on the internet. I have some on my website to make it easier for people. But it's just lists of characters and traits and things to pray for people. Or for kids even, you can find lists of what to pray for them, you know, if they're school age. And I use that list and I sit and I just start coloring, writing out Olivia's name and coloring it. And I pray thanking God that she's part of our family. I, you know, invite Him into the prayer. And then I let my eyes scan that list that I have to help make my prayers more specific. And the Holy Spirit will always just, you know, guide my eyes to just the right trait. And so my eyes might fall on friendships. And so I'll write that on the paper that has her name on it. And I'll just color it. And the whole time I'm coloring it and doodling it, that word, I'm praying that God will bring godly friendships to Olivia, friendships that will encourage her and build her up. And then when I finish praying that quality, I move to the next one, which might be, you know, obedience or trustworthiness or her salvation or whatever the Holy Spirit guides me to. I'm writing that on the paper. I'm coloring it, doodling it. I might put scripture passages on there that speak to that particular trait.
That's interesting. And it doesn't distract you? I feel like I would get distracted if I was writing and praying.
It keeps me so engaged. But that's the cool thing about having all these methods in a nice little handbook is that we know our wiring. And what works for me might not work for you, but I can look through these methods and go, you know, this one's going to work for me. Or I'm going to try this. It looks like it might work for me. And I might discover that it does. I might discover that it doesn't.
Right. Well, even for me, if I think it's distracting, it also sounds super interesting, intriguing. So I'd still like to try it. And then I might be surprised and find that it works really well for concentration.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I was first introduced to this method, I thought it would never work for me. Like, this is not me. I'm not an artist. There were just so many reasons why I didn't think it would work for me. And that's one of my tips when we get to the tips is give yourself permission. I got to the point where I just gave myself permission. Try it. You're not going to know. I used to tell my kids that all the time. You're not going to know if you don't try it. Give it a good, solid, honest try.
Right. Well, give us one more quick method and then we'll move on to the tips.
Well, let's move to, we did one in prayer and one in engaging with scripture. How about some soul searching journaling methods?
Yeah, that'd be great. Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're commanded to do is search our soul, and there's so many ways to do it through journaling. We can journal our fears. We can do a routine checkup for our soul. One of my favorites is a truth journaling, which actually came from you, so thank you very much. But just, you know, a time to sit down and speak to my soul about the things that are going on in my head, the things going on in my life, and whether I'm just speaking to myself, things I'm hearing in the culture, or things I'm feeling personally through my emotions, or whether it's truth when it's held up against God's scripture. Mm-hmm. And so I love these ways that you can just sit down and, again, spend deep, deep time with Him looking at the condition of your soul and what you need for its health. And, you know, what maybe has been going well and you need to keep doing it and what you need to change. So there's just so much here that we can do to feed our soul.
Huh, interesting. Okay, well, you said you had some tips for us. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about journaling and they like the idea of it. They want to do it, but to sit down and write, it's just really hard to make themselves do. So do you have any tips to help people get started?
Well, again, I'm going to share these with you as someone who, as I said before, has not always embraced journaling. So if you fit into that category, some of these tips may help you. It's what kind of got me over that hurdle finally after many, many, many years. We talked about giving yourself permission to try. In that same vein, also, you know, be willing to give yourself permission to abandon. You know, if you give it that honest try and it's just not a fit, let it go. It's okay to let it go. Another tip would be to take baby steps. Sometimes we learn about something, you know, for the first time, we're introduced to it, and we get all excited about its benefits and what it's going to do for us. And we jump in both feet all at once. And, you know, we pick up this handbook and we go, this is it. And we try to start 8 journaling methods at the same time. We don't want to overwhelm ourselves because that's exactly what will happen if we try to jump in both feet. So rather than, you know, overwhelm and we throw up our hands and we quit, we take baby steps. Start one method at a time. Small, simple, this one's doable. And we keep in our mind the fact that journaling for the soul is a discipline for a lifetime. There's going to be time to try all 8. We just don't want to try them all at once. I'd say, you know, a couple for reluctance, loosen up. I'm a rule follower, a step follower. I do much better when those steps are right there. And in these methods, they are. But it's important for us to know that when we journal, there's no right or wrong way. So if I'm looking at a method and this step just doesn't seem to fit, it's okay to change it and to do our own thing. My journaling does not have to look like the person sitting next to me. What it has to do is bring me to God and help me connect. And it's okay if it looks different. Couple other, you said, you know, people that want to journal, they're kind of fearful. I would say one practical tip that I love is leave your journal out in plain view. If it's right there where you see it as you're walking through the house, it's there and it can beckon to you at any time to come and spend time with God. You don't have to have, you know, my hour scheduled at 5 in the morning. When I pass through in the afternoon after I've had my lunch, I can sit for a minute. Because it calls me to come. I find that's also very practical for me to have it just laying out, because if I have to go collect the journal and I have to go find the pen or pencils that I want to use, and maybe I need to find my journal book, by the time I've gathered all that stuff, I've lost 10 or 15 minutes that I could have been engaging with Him in my journaling. So that's one I love, is just find a little spot where you can just leave it.
Right.
And nobody's going to mess with it. You don't want it where the dog's going to get it or your 2-year-old's going to get it, but somewhere where you're going to see it throughout the day and just be drawn to come and do it. Last one I want to share with you, which is another one that used to kind of bog me down, is don't catch up. While consistency is the goal with journaling and it's going to produce the greatest benefits, life happens. You know, we all know that life happens and it gets in the way. And there are some days that we wanted to journal, we meant to journal, but we didn't get to do it. So rather than beating ourselves up because we miss a day or 2 or 5, just learn to be okay with it and to continue on. Rather than feeling like, you know, I'm so far behind now and I've got to go back and catch up 7 days and robbing yourself of the blessing because you're so far behind you quit, just, you know, again, give yourself permission. Be okay with it. It's okay. Pick up with that day and just continue on. Takes a lot of the stress and pressure out of it.
Right. It's, you know, it's a learning process. Anytime you try and develop a new habit, it doesn't come all at once.
Yes.
Right. And you could set a timer. Like if you're really dreading it, this is what I do sometimes for work lately. If it's something I'm really dreading, I'll set a timer for 7 minutes and I'll work on whatever writing thing I have to do for 7 minutes. And then I'll set another timer for 7 minutes and go do my puzzle for 7 minutes. And then I come back to writing for 7 minutes.
Yeah, for those of us starting out on a new habit, it takes so long. And those old things that it takes 21 days to start a new habit, I learned this summer in teaching another course, that's just so wrong. It can take up to a year,
right,
depending on the person and the habit that you're trying to develop. So something like this, which is a total shift and involvement, it's going to take a while to develop this new habit. So I love that idea. Just timer, you know, 5 minutes to start.
Right. And try out some of these different methods, because some you might really like and, you know, some not so much, but there'll be a few that you like.
Right.
Okay. Well, do you have any other methods you want to share with us?
Sure. I'm going to share one more. And this one, you'll find it probably listed in the prayer ones, and you may find it in one of the other sections. But it's one of my most fun ones, and it actually can go with anything you're trying to do, whether it's prayer, scripture, soul searching, and it's alphabet journaling. And this one is just kind of fun because all you do for this is take your journal page and write the alphabet down the left-hand margin. So A through Z, there it is. And then let's say you want to do it in connection with prayer. Then you might write in A to Z the names of people you're praying for. Grandkids, kids, family members, missionaries. And you just go through there, you know, A, Alina, and you're just filling it in A to Z. I like to do it. In fact, we did it at a workshop, a journaling workshop a couple of months ago, where we wanted to take a look at our identity in Christ. And so we did the alphabet A to Z down the left-hand page. And then we just started throwing out the things we know from Scripture, what it says about our identity in Christ. And we just filled it in A to Z. We're adopted.
Wow, that's interesting.
We're treasured. And we just, you know, we put them in there. It's a fun little thing to do and just, you know, go in there and fill those letters in and come up with the things. But then, you know, you can stop there. Or if you want to go deeper and spend more time with him, then I could, that identity in Christ one, I could take it and I could use it as a prayer starter. I could take it and dig into my Bible and go, okay, I know I'm adopted in Christ, but where in Scripture do I find that? And then I can go digging and find scriptures to support that. And so you can just, you can do so many things with the alphabet one that it's just a fun one to use.
Oh, yeah. I actually tried that one when I looked at your book, except I did the alphabet where I didn't have specific names. I just think of anything to pray for that started with that letter.
Oh, sure.
So sometimes it was people, but sometimes it was other things. And it made the prayers interesting because you get to Q and letters like that. You can't think of anything to pray for. So I think I might have prayed for the Queen of England when I don't normally pray for the Queen of England.
It stretches you in so many ways. It's just fun to do.
Yeah, she's probably getting prayed all over the place.
I did it one day praying for government, political leaders, and that kind of, and yes, Q was kind of hard.
Well, there's your Q, Queen of England.
There you go.
Well, that's great. Well, I think this has been really helpful, Deborah. I'm so glad that you have that resource out there, and I'm glad that you shared some of these ideas on the podcast. So if you guys are listening, give some of those methods of journaling a try, and actually, if you'd like to share some of your experiences, write a comment on the blog post that goes with this. This will be over at barbrabling.com. I'll put links to Deborah's website and the book in that blog post. And I'd love to hear what your experiences are with journaling or with trying any of the methods we talked about on the podcast.
That's so great. I'd love to hear their comments and their experiences too. So I'll be checking your page.
Yeah, that'll be great. Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast, Deborah. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Barb. I appreciate it.
Okay, and thank you everybody for listening. We'll talk to you again next time.
thank you for listening to the Christian Habits Podcast. If you'd like more help with stopping and starting habits, check out Barb's blog at www.barbraveling.com.